Well, hello. It's so good to see all of you here today. I also want to say hello to our network churches that are linking up with us all around the country. And I want to say hello to you out there on the internet via our online campus, our Facebook Live signal. What's up? Hey, my name's Chris. I'm one of the staff pastors here. And I've been on staff almost 6 years now in November. If Pastor Mike and James don't fire me after this week, and it'll be 6 weeks in November, or 6 months in November. And it's been a pleasure and a wild ride, which I'll tell you more about later on in the talk. I'm also a father of three rowdy little crazy boys. Let me introduce you to them. This is my firstborn, or my one-year-old, Levi. My two-year-old, Ezra. And my three-year-old, Judah. Now, if you're doing the math in your head, you're realizing my wife can't keep her hands off of me. And so I actually said the wrong number last night. My wife was prompt to correct me on the number. But we are going through diapers at a crazy rate. We've literally had it to here with poopy diapers. I said last night we're burning through 150 in 3 weeks, and she corrected me. No, Chris. We're over 300 in 3 weeks. We're lucky if we stay 100 diapers a week. And so you could tell that not only are we tired of this chore, but my bank account is tired of the diaper chore as well. So I am starting officially this month with my wife potty training in our house. We're going to start with our oldest son and work our way down the line. And obviously the one-year-old's got to go a little bit longer before we can do that. But the goal is to be out of diapers. And so we have adopted in our house what we're calling the pantless method of diaper training. So my three-year-old, Judah, is literally running around the house with no pants on, no diaper on, just showing off what the good Lord gave him. And I was actually a little concerned about this at first. I said, honey, you know, accidents happen. And I don't know if I want to sit on our couch after an accident happens. But my son's been pretty good about not having too many accidents. Actually, he's become an expert at holding in the bathroom material until his little belly starts to hurt. Now, some of you guys are looking or thinking, what a monster hurting his son's stomach like this. Calm down. He totally gets diapers when we leave the house and when he goes to bed at night. And when I ask him, Judah, where are you supposed to go potty? He says, Daddy, I'm supposed to go poo-poo and pee-pee in the potty. And he'll point to it. So that tells me he fully knows in his mind what he should be doing. Now, I tell you this stuff not because I want to share the bathroom experience at my household, but I'm telling you this because I think some of us catch ourselves in the same problem that my son seems to be in. You see, my son has the head-level knowledge of what he should be doing. He can articulate it. He knows what he should be doing. He's not having accidents. But he lacks the application of potty training. He's not going in the potty. Now, some of us look at Bible study very similar. We have a head-level knowledge. We know in our mind what we should be doing, but we don't live it out in our actions. Or maybe some of us just get confused about what Bible study is really all about. And this leads me to our first fill-in-the-blank on your program there. And the purpose of Bible study is not knowledge. The purpose of Bible study is life change. When you study the scriptures, knowledge is a good thing. Learning what's in this book is a good thing, but it's not a complete thing. We're to read this book in a way where it changes our life. Now, I'm going to tell you how to do this in a moment, but I want to kind of show you an example of this in my life, why this is so important for us to wrap our head around. I used to volunteer at a church. It was a lot smaller than this. And as I was volunteering, there was some I thought at the time were spiritual giants. You know, people who had thought, wow, there's a godly person. If only one day I can be as smart and brilliant as them. Looking back on it, though, I see that they were just kind of what I call now a Bible ninja. Someone who knew scripture in and out, like as if they had a photographic memory. And they would do these things to you after service where they'd run up and do this ambush quiz on you to see just how much you knew and how much more they knew than you. And they would do crazy things like, is it A, B, or C? And I don't know about you, but I know the answers half the time when it comes to quizzes, and I just fail the quiz because of the pressure. I'm just not good at it. And they were like, ha, look how much I know. And I thought, man, this person's smart. Now, later on down in my journey with Jesus, I look back at that situation and I look at those people's lives and I say, for all that biblical knowledge they had, it wasn't changing their lives as it should. It wasn't making an impact on the people around them like it should. Because if we have the biblical knowledge and we apply it to our life, that is what the byproduct is, that God changes who we are and it impacts the people all around us. You see, the goal of this book is not just know this book. The goal is to know the God of this book. And when you know the God of this book, that's when he gets into the life transformation process. So let's talk about why we study the Bible. We study the Bible to learn what Jesus wants me to do. We read scripture to figure out what Jesus is wanting to speak into our lives about. We study the Bible to obey what Jesus wants me to obey, because we got to live it out after Jesus tells us what he wants us to do. And when we do those two things, then this is the result. We study the Bible to be what Jesus wants me to be. When we learn what he wants, when we do what he wants, we become who he wants. Now check out Romans chapter 12, how it kind of articulates this idea that as we ingest what God is speaking into our life, he changes us from the inside out. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't change yourselves to be like people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. So today I'm going to, with my friend Pastor Kellen, going to teach you about a simple Bible study method. Now, don't get me wrong. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's not a very powerful thing for you to do in your life. Great, huge ministry leaders that are out there in this country doing huge things use this Bible study method in their life daily to have God speak to them on what they should do on a personal level, what they should do at a church leadership level. So this is a powerful, yet a very easy to understand way to connect with God and allow him to grow you. We call it SOAP, S-O-A-P. And each letter stands for a different part of the process when we study the Bible. I'm going to be teaching you about the last letter, P, because I've already talked to you about P today, so I'm going to continue that. And Pastor Kellen's going to talk to you about the S-O-A. But before he comes up, I want to tell you a few things that are important as we jump into this kind of Bible study. One, you're going to want to get a journal, or if you're a dude and you're like, I don't journal, bro, get a ledger. Or if you're a tech nerd like me, maybe you're going to get the Notes app in your phone. Look, the goal is that you use it with consistency. Over time, you want to keep doing the SOAP process, and then you could flip back in the pages and just see what's been going on in your life. You don't want to have like one page here, one page there, and one page in cyberspace somewhere on an app. Use it with consistency, and I don't care where you're writing this stuff down as long as it's cataloging what God's doing in your life. Also, one of the things I get to do around here is be over the spiritual development of adult ministries here, and it's a fun job. And one of the things we do is we offer a growth track. You've probably heard a lot about this lately. And one of those classes is called Church 201. We just had it last month. This month we have Church 301. But Church 201, we talk about spiritual disciplines that connect you with God and grow your faith. And one of those things we talk about is what we're talking about today. So, and when you attend that class, we give you a custom-built Bible study journal for East Lakers, with reading plans and devotionals in it and pages for you to actually log your SOAP lessons in it. So the next time the Church 201 class comes around, jump on board and get yourself this custom-built journal for free. Okay, one of the things I like to do before I jump into my Bible study time is connect with God by speaking to him, which is called prayer. And so I like to pray before and as I read the passages. I say something along the lines of, Jesus, speak to me today. Show me what you want me to do. And it's a very simple yet powerful prayer because I'm asking God to speak into my life and to give me an application from that scripture, something that I could live out in my life this week. Now, Pastor Kellen's going to come up on stage here. He leads our middle school program. He's a really tall guy, one of the few guys who make me feel short around here. He's going to walk you through the soap process. And the first fill in the blank for soap is scripture.
Nice. Thank you, Chris.
I've done this before, I promise. How you guys doing this morning? Everyone online, how you guys doing? I work with middle schoolers, so I need a little more than that. How you guys doing? Okay, that's too much. Calm down. All right. Just kidding. Well, hey, everybody. I'm Kellen. I'm the middle school pastor here at the Chula Vista campus. And I'm super excited to be here. Everyone online, hello. This is new to me, so it's so good. I'm so glad you guys are here. So James came up to me and said, hey, would you like to speak on the main stage? And I was like, I'll be honored. What are we talking about? He's like, you know, we're in the 40 days of the word. And I was like, oh yeah. And he's like, you're going to talk about soap. And I looked at him and said, I work with middle school boys. Soap is all I literally talk about. That or Axe body spray, but that's nor here nor there. I love being here. I work with middle schoolers, but I love Bible study, so I love what we're talking about right now, and we're going to jump right into this. Now, Chris talked about scripture being the first thing, because you can't Bible study without the Bible. So write that down. It's scripture. But once you have that down, you're probably thinking, Kellen, I'm new to this. I'm not sure how to do all this. If this is your first time studying the Bible, and the Bible can kind of be overwhelming at times. Where do you start? There's 66 books. There's over 35 different authors. There's an Old and New Testament. Where do I begin? Well, my humble opinion, I say you should always start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Those are the Gospels. That's the literal life stories of Jesus Christ. So if you want to learn more about God or about Jesus himself, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. If not, if you're like, hey, Kellen, that's great. I've done that before. Every week that you guys tune in online or you show up on campus, whatever the pastor, Mike or James or whoever's talking, whatever scripture they give you, that's a great jumping off point of studying that week. Okay, so once you have your scripture, the first thing you want to do, and you can write this down, is read it slowly. Read the scripture slowly. There's no need to rush. You know, we're not going to bust down your door and give you a golden sticker when you're done reading your scripture. But read it slowly, no pressure. Now, once you've read your scripture slowly and maybe a couple of times, repeating is not a bad thing. What you want to do is you want to read it thoughtfully. You want to read it thoughtfully. Now, a book came out a few years ago. Some of you have may read it called The Five Love Languages. And a couple of my love languages, so we can get to know each other a little bit, is my last one is physical touch. So if you want to just back up off. I don't know why I'd threaten you. That was weird. But my number two love language is acts of service. I love when people just do things for me. I love it. But my number one is words of affirmation. I love words of affirmation. I love when you text me things or say things, especially on notes. Love notes. So what I did is I actually brought one from one of my former middle school students. Now, I've been in the game for a bit, and this student is actually getting married this year. Golly, I feel old. I'm not. I'm only 30, but I feel way older than that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read an excerpt from this letter that is actually written by Katie, and she wrote this. Like I said, I love how you are always yourself. Whatever you're doing, whatever environment you're in, you're always you, which is amazing. Thank you for being an encouragement to me. You're always so happy, and that helped me when times are rough. I love that you even come over to our parties at our house and stuff like that. I thought she wrote it. I love it. Not every junior high pastor does that for his students. Our church has been lucky to have you. That's an actual note from an actual person, and it means the world to me. When I read notes and letters, I read it, and I read it slowly, and I read it thoughtfully. I read it as if it's been written to me. And I think scripture is the same way. When you read the scriptures, we need to read it as if God has given it to us, because scripture is simply a letter from God to us showing his love. So when you read the scripture, read it slowly, but read it thoughtfully, like God thought of you when he was writing this, because he did. And once you do that, you can then move into the writing phase. Write out what stands out to you. What's that point? I wrote the point down. I know what it is. Write out the part of scripture that speaks most to you. There we go. Write out the part of scripture that speaks most to you. Now, what we're going to do this morning briefly is we're going to go through a passage of scripture, Matthew 22, 39. It's a short piece of scripture, but let me give you some context before we get into it. Now, a bunch of law teachers and people that knew the law came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in all the law? And Jesus said, trying to trick me, I got this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Five simple words, love your neighbor as yourself. We're going to break that down and kind of practice this scripture reading. So let's go through it one time, emphasizing one of those five words. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. When I was reading this, I wrote down, what is love? What does it mean to love? And then I reread it and said, love your neighbor as yourself. Sorry if I scared some of you guys. Who's that person in your life that needs you to be kind to them, that maybe they irritate you, or maybe you just don't get along, or maybe they're different from you? Who is that person that you need to love? Then we'll read it again. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Is it your physical neighbor next door? Is that person that you work across the cubicle from? Who's your neighbor? Last one, we'll skip as, but we'll go, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love yourself? Actually, let's rephrase that. Do you value yourself? When you wake up in the morning, do you look in the mirror and say, you know what? You have value. You're important. You got this. God loves you. Do you value yourself? Because the way that you view yourself kind of is how you view other people. If you see value in yourself, then you'll probably see value in other people. I got all those thoughts from five words because I read it slowly, thoughtfully, repeatedly, and I wrote out what I thought. But once you write stuff out, it transitions into observation. Write that down, observation. Now, observation is simply writing down what you think. Just what first comes to mind, write it down. Now, the goal here isn't to get deep. You're not trying to Da Vinci code the Bible, all right? You're not trying to figure out, well, what does this mean if I plug? Read the text as it's written, it'll make sense. A lot of it, truth is truth. A lot of it's black and white, and we get it. Yeah, God wrote that to people back there and then in a day, but truth is truth. If you read the text as is, you can grab something from what has been written. But once you write that down, or once you write down your thoughts, there's a couple things you want to focus on. Because like Chris said, Bible study isn't necessarily about getting the knowledge, it's about life change. So what you're going to do is you're going to focus on two things. You're going to focus on actions and attitudes to change. You can write that down if you're online. Hello, I remember you're there. Focus on the actions and attitudes to change. Because when I see the words that say, love your neighbor as yourself, a couple things I get is God wants me to love people and to love myself. A couple attitude things is he wants me to view myself as valuable and to view others as valuable. So I focused on the actions and the attitudes that need to change. Now the fun part is, once you're done, once you figured out your scripture, and you've written down your observation, we're going to move to the fun part, which is A, application. This is where we actually get to do it. Now, some of you guys got all tense, like, ooh, I got to do something? Yes, you got to do something. That's where life change comes in. But in the application, you guys are going to want to do this. Pick one application to focus on. Okay? I found out it's a lot easier. And this is what I do. Maybe you do this too, but I do this when I'm drinking my can of Coca-Cola. I like to throw a straw in there. Makes it easier to drink. It's simpler. I know what I'm drinking. It's Coke. It's a lot easier to drink from a straw than it is a fire hose. All right? So if you're reading scripture like, man, there's like 50 things I got to do now. Ah! That was strange. I don't know why I did that. But if you're reading the scripture, you're like, Kellen, there's like 50 things I found that the Bible wants me to do. That's awesome. That's great. I'm happy for you. Pick one of them. It's a lot easier to do. It's easier to drink from a straw than it is from a fire hose. But once you've found your application and you found your scripture, you want to make sure that the application is personal. Personalize the application. It's very easy to say, oh yeah, people need to love other people. That's very easy to say. But it's harder for Kellen to say, Kellen, comma, love your neighbor as yourself.
Ooh.
So I'm going to tell you guys a quick story. There's this real person that years ago, I'm going to change his name for the sake of the story because he may be watching online. Oh man, I think I'm the funniest person. There's a person back in the day. I'm going to call him James, okay? Now, I know what you're thinking. Not that James. It may have been him. You'll never know. No, not that James. But there's a guy back in the day who knew how to push every button at one time. Like, we all have pet peeves. He knew how to push every single one of them all at one time, every time I was in the vicinity of this person. He'd come up to me as I'm talking to somebody, like, Kellen. I'm like, I'm talking to someone, I'm trying to change a student's life. What do you want? Like, he was that person. And I quickly realized that the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, came into play in that moment. In that moment, it was actually over a course of a few months. I'm a slow worker, I get the life change going. Over a few months. And so I had to take this scripture and personalize it. Kellen, love your neighbor, James, as myself. Like, I had to personalize it. Who's that James in your life that you know you need to personalize this scripture for? It may be a family member, maybe another family, maybe 18 family members that may be your neighbor. It may be that person you work with, like I said. But who's that person that you may need to love? The second thing, once you make it personal, make it practical, okay? Make it practical. So Kellen, I need to love my neighbor James as myself. So here's the practical part. I need to love my neighbor James as myself by inviting him to dinner. And boy, did I. And boy, was it fun. It was the longest 2 hours I ever had. But it was great. Life change came from it. Make it practical. But now, don't just make it practical. Sometimes we say we're going to do stuff and we forget to do this. We need to make it measurable. Write this down. Make it measurable. Once you've personalized it, you made it practical, make it in reach. I need to love my neighbor James as myself by inviting him to dinner this weekend. Once you put a deadline, once you put a timetable on what you are to do, it makes it real. It adds value to the date that you're setting to apply the scripture to your life. Now, timetables are amazing. We have them all the time. Christmas is a timetable, it's a date. Easter, birthdays, Labor Day, Groundhog's Day, Veterans Day, the other day, anniversaries. Now, I'm not married, everyone. I'm not married. I'm still single. Don't know why you're laughing, but I'll move past that. But fellas, if your anniversary was tomorrow, now online as well, I want you to roll with me. If your anniversary is tomorrow, are you going to buy your wife flowers 7 days from now? No, because there's no significance in that. There's no importance. The timetable is you were married on this day, so flowers on this day makes that day valuable, makes that gesture valuable. So when you put a timetable on doing something and you actually do it, there's value in that application. Does that make sense? You guys tracking? All right. Thank you. That one guy. Yeah. But once you've done all this, once you've done S-O and A, now it's time to P. That's not what I wrote down. Okay, once you've done S-O and A, you gotta P. And I'm just gonna say it like that. You gotta P, all right? You gotta do it. And P, you guys, this is why I work with middle schoolers. Hi-oh. Job security, all right. If you're writing this down, P is prayer. And then I'm going to invite Chris back up to walk us through prayer. Chris, where you at, man?
Potty training's next on his list, so sorry about that, guys. Oh, boy. Okay, so this part's actually quite simple. If you're new to faith and you're thinking, I don't know if I've ever really prayed, or I don't know if I'm getting it right when I pray. Look, Jesus has been speaking to us through his word as we read it. We're learning what the application is, as Kellen talked about, and now it's our opportunity again to speak back to Jesus, right? A conversation is a two-way road, and we get to pray back to Jesus and let him know what we're going to do. Now, if you're sitting here thinking, Chris, what if I just don't articulate it right? What if I miss something from my prayer? Don't freak out. Scripture's actually quite clear. The Holy Spirit's going to search your heart and pray on your behalf and fill in the gaps wherever your prayer was lacking. So really, all you have to do is just talk to God. And you know what's crazy about that? Is that God isn't up there like, oh, okay, I'll talk to this guy yet again. We'll see what he has to say. No, I like to think of God as a God that loves you so much that he's sitting literally on the edge of his seat with his hand to his ear, just ecstatic to hear what you have to say, quieting everybody else and listen to every pronunciation of word that you're using, because I think that God is crazy about you. And even in me thinking these thoughts, I'm probably limiting the excitement that God has when you pray to him. So don't be afraid. Be excited to pray to him, because he's not just the God of the universe. He's not the creator of all things, but he is also radically crazy about you and wants to do goodness in your life. Now, we talked about earlier praying before we jump into the soap process. God, speak to me. Show me what you want me to do. And then at the end, I like to take what the application is and talk about it to God. Talk about what you've learned. So Kellen talked about Pastor James, some other James earlier. I'm going to talk about that verse when it comes to love your neighbor as yourself, as my literal neighbors, the people who live next door, Nick and Lauren. So I don't know them very well, but on my prayer this week is, Jesus, I read in the scripture today to love your neighbor as yourself. Help me step out today and invite them to go out to dinner with us. And I'll tell you about it tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. And then tomorrow when I practice the soap again, I tell Jesus how it went down. If I wimped out or if I actually crossed the line and invited him over for dinner. And I just keep practicing the soap and keep letting God speak into my life and transform what's going on in my life. Now, again, take that prayer, grab your journal, and write out that simple prayer and what you've learned in this journal. This journal is to be written in as you move through the letters of soap. Now, there's two reasons why we encourage you to actually document what's going on in the soap process. One, when you write things out, it sticks in your mind longer and has a better chance of seeping down into your heart. And two, you get to see what God does in your life over a period of time. The human race or species or whatever you call us, we are a forgetful animal. And if it's not a huge event in our life, we forget the day-to-day details, the day-to-day crisis, or the day-to-day anxiety. But if we document it, we could flip back a month, 2 months, 6 months, maybe even a year, and see what we were praying to God about. And a great part of this, you get to see all of the answers that God gives us to prayers. When you start documenting what God's doing in your life, you get to see God show up in your life as you look back. It's like going to the gym. You come in fat and flabby, and you leave like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, I think is his name. Sorry, I'm horrible with culture. But you leave Mr. Muscular, okay, on the other side. If we just assume that guy's been buff his whole life, I don't know. But if we document it, we now know the process, the journey, what God's been doing as he's been changing who you are from the inside out. So your Bible and your journal are required when you go through the soap process. And when you start out the soap process, if you're new to this, just give yourself 10 to 15 minutes a day to dive into a word, grab a principle out, apply it to your life, and pray about it. And as you get better at this, you can expand the time if you want. The great thing about God is that he clears the schedule for you. He'll allow you to take up as much of his time as you want. He'll sit all day with you and walk through soap if you want. But don't kill yourself yet, like Kellen was saying, drink from the straw, and just start with 10 to 15 minutes a day as you get used to God speaking into your life through his scripture. Now, many of you don't know this about my life, but I used to be in a broken, dark place, a place where I felt rejection for years. I'm actually in my second marriage currently. My first marriage was not a healthy relationship. The whole time we were together, it was jacked up. It was never peaceful. It really didn't have joy going on at all in it. And I could see the writing on the wall the whole time we were married. The divorce was like looming in the distance. And I was new to faith because of this broken marriage. And it like helped me find God's, I guess that's a good product of that brokenness. And I wanted to do what was right for God. So I was trying to follow what God was saying to do. And it came to that topic. And then one day, which I knew it was coming because I could just tell, it was obvious, my wife admitted the death blow to the fringe of the relationship we had left, that she slept with another man. And no matter how hard we tried to get past it, it just, on a broken relationship that wasn't good to begin with, just could not move past it. And after that 5 years of rejection, divorced, I was in a dark place, hurting. My career in media arts really wasn't going where I wanted it to go. This is before I was a pastor. I was a new Christ follower. And I came across this scripture, Isaiah 43, and I want to read it to you. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness, in streams in the wasteland. And now as I read that to you like this, and maybe you could jump to a couple conclusions, but it's not really life transformation right in just reading out that verse. But in that season, I walked through a very similar Bible study process as Soap, and I got huge amounts of God giving me hope, speaking into my life, and even letting me in on some future plans that he has for me. So let me break down this verse the way how God broke it down in my heart when I was in that moment of hopelessness. When I read, "See, I am doing a new thing," God revealed to me, "This is the start of something new and big in your life." And when I read, "Now it springs up," it was like God saying, "It starts today, Chris." "Do you perceive it?" was like God saying, "Don't lose hope before the miracle, Chris. Keep following me. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." That was like God saying, "Your brokenness, your rejection, your addictions, your codependency, and all the other character defects you have is now the soil in your life. And I'm going to sprout out health, healthy relationships, new ones, and restore relationships to be healthy. And I'm not only going to fix your personal life with relationships, but I'm also going to change you from the inside out with applying scripture to your life over and over again. And as a result, it's going to have an impact on people around you. And that's going to spring up life and joy in other people's lives as well. And as I read that in that broken place, I was like, okay, I'll keep doing this. I didn't have much to go on in that moment other than God was the only thing speaking goodness into my life. Now, if I could go back years and show all the good stuff that's happened since then over the last decade, I would not believe what that person was saying. Things like me going from a volunteer in a church to being a pastor in a church, that God somehow opened the door for someone who doesn't belong as a pastor to be a pastor, and I get to help people find and follow Jesus, and he uses my darkness, like my addictions, and he helped me plant and start the Celebrate Recovery that happens here every Friday night, and then God used me to go and be in Los Angeles at one of our newer churches that folded in a few years ago, and I really was riding God's coattails, but leading that church from 50 people to 300 people. And then God brought me back here to Chula Vista to be the pastor of adult ministries and do some really huge things. I mean, my team leads 750 volunteers on a conservative semester. That is amazing. I get to lead the spiritual development here and have the growth track and money studies and groups. And that's just a part of what I get to do. And there's so much good going on in my career because of what God did. But that comes second to what the real fruit God brought to my life. Years ago, he brought this beautiful woman into my life, Stephanie. That's a photo from our first date. And she's beautiful, and like the classy guy I took her, you could tell that is Carl's Jr. that we're sitting here in that photo. But she fell in love with me and said yes, and we got married. And now, 5 years later, we have this beautiful family that's just got so much love going on. I mean, my wife and I enjoy being around each other. I never even imagined that a husband and wife could love each other this much. We literally load the kids up in the car just so we could drive around and talk to each other. If you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, you know what happens on Thursday nights. It's date night. We've allotted a set budget for that. We have a babysitter come over just so we can continue to date each other because we love and are crazy about each other and the relationship that we have. God has done so much in the last decade of my life. Plans that he had were better than I could have ever imagined back when I was in that brokenness. And if you're searching for a hope today, friends, search no further than right here. But this isn't just some magic blue pill where you're going to swallow it and go home and everything's better now. It takes you doing your part, and God will do his part. You got to be in it daily. You got to hear what God wants you to do daily. You got to apply it to your life and live it out. And when we do that, God doesn't just transform who you are, but he transforms what's going on around you. It's not like God's up in heaven saying, I got plans for you, buddy. You got to be a good boy or girl. No. God's saying there's huge opportunity here for you, but you've got to be willing to step into the opportunity so this goodness can be a byproduct of what's going on in your life. I have one last verse that I want to read to you here. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by God, and all scripture is useful for teaching and showing people, that's us, what's wrong in their lives. It is useful for correcting faults and teaching the right way to live. And when I read that verse, I see if we learn what he wants us to do, if we obey what he wants us to do, we'll become who he wants us to be. God has plans for each and every one of you in this room, and they're bigger than you could ever imagine, and they might be drastically different than what I did, but it all starts with getting into his word and applying it to your life. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you that you've never given up hope on us, that you've never given up on dreaming big plans for us, that you've never stopped loving us, that you're always ecstatic about the idea of us, and you are literally bursting at the seams to hear from us. Speak into our lives this week as we step out in faith and start reading your scripture. I'm praying that the application that comes from the verse jumps off the page and smacks us in the face so we cannot say no to it. And then help us to obey you by living it out in our life this week. And we're excited to see the life transformation as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.